We're getting into the midst of a very unusual election, sitting right in the middle of a pandemic with so many changes to policy and so much contention around how even the election is being operated. And the closer we get to the final days of voting and the closer we get to a final decision, the more scrutiny is being placed on the candidates themselves. And that's not only predictable, it's expected. When you have any public figure, you expect to evaluate them, to look at all of their actions and choices, see if they stand up to the level of someone you want as a public official. And this goes doubly for president, which is a position not only of great responsibility, but of great publicity, so that the words and actions of that individual can have far-reaching impact. But there is a difference between scrutiny and trying to drag someone's name through the mud. It can be sometimes hard to find where that line sits because the truth can be ugly, and we certainly don't want to shy away from pointing out the issues that are real, that really exist. But it's when we turn only to those stories, when we pay attention more to the negative than anything else, and when especially, we change our strategy. So it's not about evaluating a candidate, but rather putting down the candidate we dislike. We're no longer attempting to find out what the truth of the matter is. We're simply trying to defend our own preferred candidate while putting down the other in the eyes of everyone we talk to or interact with. Some have pointed out that it's disturbing that so many issues and problems and concerning choices exist for the candidates, one of whom will take presidential office in the near future. They point out, not incorrectly, that you want in office someone whom you trust as a person of upright character. This is all true, and yet it's easy to find fault with people if you want to. If you followed someone around for a month and could record them at will, for even the saintliest of people, you'd be able to develop a documentary that showed them in a horrible negative light. Everyone's human. Everyone makes mistakes. Most people also do kind deeds. But we work very hard, it seems, to avoid thinking of our political figures this way. It's like a black box that absorbs only the wavelengths of light that make your candidate look good, and reflects all the wavelengths that make your candidate of choice look bad. And when you look from that box into the other comparable box for the other candidate, you of course only see the negative coming back. And everyone works very, very hard to make sure that they are firmly in one of those boxes. It's a comforting thing, in a sense. It reaffirms what you know. It gives you some sense of certainty, assuredness, superiority even. But really, you're backing yourself into a corner with that action. Once you've confirmed for yourself what you determine is the truth and decide is the truth, then you'll only be looking for news, only be accepting news that further cements that position, and you're backing yourself into the corner and there's no turning around. That would mean admitting all kinds of mistakes on your own part of judgment. No one wants that. It's much easier and more comfortable to decide you are right and then make everything else fit that point of view. People on both sides are thoroughly guilty of this. I browse social media on both sides of the aisle. I run across posts that range from center to fringe elements. And it may not really be so surprising in the days coming up to the election what you find. On the right-wing sites, you can't go 3 posts or half an hour without running into some new item on Hunter Biden. You'll read about the hypocrisies that Biden has committed against his own stances in the past, against the things he claims to support. They'll show you the ways in which they expect Biden to change once he's in office. They look to his frailties as an older person. They look toward his bad attitude when dealing with people whom he thinks are incorrect, his elitism. And that is all you will learn of Biden. Contrary-wise, when you're on a more left-leaning site, you won't go 5 minutes before learning all about how Trump has held on to his money, how he's used it in his best interest, how he's been condescending and even cruel to those around him, how he doesn't take science into account when making his decisions, how he tries to stoke the fires of partisanship, and on and on. Of course, if you go and read about Biden on the left-wing site and about Trump on the right-wing site, well, you'd hardly recognize them as the same candidates if you didn't know better. And most tellingly, from both of these sites, on both of these candidates, there is an almost total absence of discussion of policy. Really, policy only comes up when it's being used to tell you why you should not vote for someone. People on the right-wing sites will tell you how bad Biden will be for gun rights. They will tell you how, despite his claims, he's going to raise taxes, hurt the economy, destroy businesses. You look on the left and you'll learn all about how Trump is going to continue cementing racism, division, how he's going to draw us more into global conflict. If this is what passes as learning about the candidates and whether they meet your standards, then we have failed miserably. This is not a discussion in any location, in any site, of the merits and demerits of a presidential candidate. This is muckraking and a feel-good party. If you want any confirmation of that, you just have to see how often people will post new reasons why their candidate will win. It's a guaranteed thing. You'll see pictures of socially distant town halls or rallies that attempt to show the opposing candidate having no one show up for them. You'll learn all about how they've underestimated a particular trend among voters, or how things are shifting this way or that way, or how the stock market or COVID or something else will affect the vote. And you'll seem to learn that with 100% certainty, the election is going to come out this way. Of course, it's both the left and the right saying it's going to come out that way, so one of those sides is guaranteed to be wrong. Of course, what happens after that is a whole other question. Contesting the election, verifying the votes, that too is used as fuel for the fires of condemning the opposing candidate and those who stand by them. And you'd think if you turned to a third-party candidate, things would be a little bit better. You'd think these would be people who are so tired of the muckraking and the yelling and the screaming, the pointless back-and-forth condemning the candidates, that the discussion would take a bit of better form. Well, you'd be wrong. For instance, in libertarian forums and newsrooms, while there may be a little bit more of actual support of policy, in part just because a lot of effort is being made to make people aware of that policy of the third parties, because nobody knows about them, for the most part, and when they do, it's usually with some level of scorn. But if you get past that superficial, occasional article on policy, you'll find the same thing, the same dragging people's names through the mud, the same attempt to defend candidate of choice and put down the others. It's a damaging perspective. Turning a person into an idea, into almost a personality cult, is almost always a poor idea. A person is human. They make good choices and poor choices, do good things and do bad things. And the way you view them will be different than someone else. The things you think are better or worse, the choices you prefer or don't prefer, you have to accept and understand all of these. Otherwise, you're just lying to yourself about the person whom you're judging and evaluating. Sometimes people will even attempt to throw out the entire discussion of character and say, well, I'm voting for X candidate because I agree with their policies. I'm not voting for them as a person. That's a perfectly reasonable approach, though it does, to an extent, throw the baby away with the bathwater. It's not even making an attempt to view the candidate as a person, as a human being. I guarantee you, if you put the effort in to really look around at all the headlines from all the perspectives, you'd gain some new insights on any candidate, or for that matter, any human being that you wanted to. Avoiding hero worship, avoiding absolutes when coming to terms with what a person is, these are approaches that can not just save our own perspectives, but they can save the quality of an election. Scrutiny is good. Evaluating a person is good, especially when they are going to be making important decisions. But putting someone down for the sake of putting them down, for the sake of confirming your own viewpoint, or even worse, for the sake of feeling better about yourself, that's just bullying. It's convenient. We can do it from afar, and we can do it in such a way that even is applauded by some because it can be construed in the light of evaluating a candidate, but that's not what it is. That's almost never what it is. It's attempting to bully from afar and in a socially acceptable way. There are better ways to understand a human. There are better ways to decide for whom you will vote or if you will vote. Voter turnout for this election seems to be on track to be a record, but I know many as well who are abstaining entirely from voting simply because they cannot bring themselves to select one of the viable candidates. To that, I do believe that often people in that situation are deluding themselves a little bit. I think it's laudable that they would want to take an ethical stand of a sort by not voting for any one person when they think no person who meets their standards is available. But I think also this is due to a lack of research and investigation to really understand what each candidate is about. And I say this as someone with political views, but if you're really trying to get to the root of what a candidate is, what they stand for, who they are, what they do well, what they do wrong, you can come to a cohesive picture, a cohesive understanding. And it's much easier to swallow when you understand the person as a person. If you were running for political office, and I know many of us feel like we would never do that, but if you felt compelled to run for a local council or something like that, you know the people running against you would try to dig up every last item in your past that could make you look bad. And I feel there are very few of us who would withstand that with aplomb. It's easy to make a person look bad. We want people to judge us fairly. It's useful to recognize our faults, but it's insulting and hurtful when people fail to identify them in context or view us as a complete picture. The people for whom we vote deserve the same thing, especially when the outcome is such an important one. Selecting a president for the country is not a job to be taken lightly. Strong feelings are useful, but are not in and of themselves an answer. It can't be. If you feel that strongly about the person, it probably means you've done your research wrong. Doesn't mean you can't feel strongly about some action they have done, some choice they have made, some policy they have a stance on. You can feel strongly about that. It's good to feel strongly about that. You have certain things you believe, hopefully you know why you believe them, and something that a person has said or done, a stance they take, goes contrary-wise to that. Okay, that's legitimate. But if in viewing the person, you approach with that same kind of vehemence, it's probably likely that you are missing some elements of who that human is. Confirmation bias is powerful, very powerful. Major studies have been derailed even after the fact because of it. And it's impossible to guess how many decisions in daily life have been impacted by this kind of thing. We may not be able to completely mitigate it, but we can certainly, certainly approach the judging of other human beings when that's necessary from a more humanistic and cohesive approach. Not only do we deserve it as thoughtful human beings, not only do the candidates deserve it as human beings themselves, but the country deserves it. The country deserves for each voter to make a considered choice based on facts, based on a balanced judgment, based on not missing information. And I get it. The candidates for this election are people for whom it's very easy to feel strong opinions. The policies at play are also inducing strong feelings. Things like the future of healthcare in the country, the pandemic, safety, education, relationships with other important countries, the cultural composition of each state and of the country. People have strong feelings about these, and understandably so. But that doesn't mean you get a free pass to wing it. Humans are capable of deep thought, introspection, and are born with the ability to rise above their more basic instincts of hate, anger, fear. We have the ability to think, to change our own minds, and to come to rational conclusions ahead and above what our more irrational minds want us to think. Our society is based on the notion of our ability to do this, and for each individual to have the freedom and latitude to express themselves about these things, to consider these things freely without restriction, to come to their own conclusions, and to vote based on those conclusions. It'd be an awful shame if we wasted such an opportunity.